So here it goes. Sermon for today, the 25th Sunday after Trinity, also the 6th Sunday after the Epiphany. God and man made manifest by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. Easter is quite late this year. So the season of Epiphany has the maximum number of Sundays, 6. As we have been hearing of late, the overall theme of the season has to do with manifestations, showing up. Jesus was born privately in almost complete obscurity, but he began to show himself to the wider world when the Gentile wise men visited him. The New Testament Gospels go on to describe various ways in which he showed himself to the world later on. The point is that if we can see how Jesus manifested himself during his earthly life, we can learn to be alert to the ways he manifests himself to us now, as teacher, as healer, and as miracle worker. The words of the hymn we just sang, didn't sing, were written specifically for today, the 6th Sunday after Epiphany. If you look at the bottom of the page where hymn number 53 is, you will see the name Christopher Wordsworth. Christopher Wordsworth was the Church of England's Bishop of Lincoln in the mid-19th century. He was also a noted Greek scholar and, quite obviously, a poet, as was his more famous uncle, William Wordsworth. Hymn 53 mentions almost all of the gospel readings the prayer book appoints for the Epiphany season. The Church of England in those days had the same Sunday readings we have. Its refrain is, "Anthems to thee addressed, God and man made manifest." That is yet another restatement of the Epiphany message. Jesus Christ is God, who shows himself to the world as a human being, and we praise him for that. Bishop Wordsworth's hymn talks about the story we have been thinking about for the past several weeks. The visit of three wise men, the baptism of Christ, the wedding at Cana, and the healing of the centurion's servant. Most regrettably, our version of the hymn leaves out a stanza which came in between what we have as the third and fourth ones. The missing stanza comments specifically on what Jesus has to say about the end of the world in today's gospel. It reads, "Sun and moon shall darken be, stars shall fall, the heavens shall flee. Christ will then like lightning shine, all will see his glorious sign. All will then the trumpet hear. All will see the judge appear. Thou by all will be confessed, God and man made manifest." The gospel is taken from a speech Jesus makes during the last week of his earthly life. He delivers it from the Mount of Olives, which overlooks Jerusalem. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah says that at the end of the world, the Messiah will stand on the Mount of Olives. So it is the appropriate place for Christ to talk about what is going to happen at the end. We read another rather similar passage from a parallel section of St. Luke's Gospel in the second Sunday in Advent, which is a season devoted more specifically to the end of the world. Today, Jesus tells us that if someone comes along and says he has some secret information about the end of the world and his return to earth, we're not supposed to pay any attention. He says, when such people come along, we must not believe them, even if they can perform all sorts of impressive miracles. The reason for that is very simple. When Jesus comes back, everybody is going to know about it. Nobody is going to have to come and whisper about it into your ear. Jesus says his coming will be obvious as lightning in the sky, just as you know where a carcass is when you see buzzards. So you know his coming by signs. Natural disasters and disruptions in the sky. Then we will see Jesus coming down out of the sky surrounded by clouds. And finally, he will send his angels out to gather up all of us whom he is going to take back to heaven. Bishop Wordsworth calls the end of the world Jesus' great epiphany, his big manifestation. The last verse of the hymn tells us how we should prepare for it. We shouldn't be surprised that it tells us to read our Bibles, saying, "Grant us grace to see thee, Lord, mirrored in thy holy word." When we meet Jesus in the Bible, we should try to act the way he does. Bishop Wordsworth goes on, "May we imitate thee now and be pure as pure art thou." And why should we try to find out who Jesus is and try to be like him? It is so he will recognize that we belong to him when he comes back. The next line is, "That we like to thee may be at thy great epiphany." There, Bishop Wordsworth borrows from today's epistle, where St. John also talks about the end, saying, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The point is that all of Jesus' manifestations in the Bible, throughout human history, and in our own lives, they are all meant to prepare us for the big epiphany, his final manifestation at the end of the world. If we read our Bibles and come to church and pay attention to what is going on around us, we shall be his when he comes again. Then we may praise him, ever blessed, God and man made manifest. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.